Make sense of the week that was. Prepare for the week to come.
Inside EWN on 702.
Thank you so much. Welcome to all of you. Dr. Ramokopa, let me start with you. Doctor, good evening. It is nomination season in earnest. From an NEC perspective, how is this process unfolding? And are you happy with what you're seeing at the moment?
Thank you very much, Tidi, and also good evening to the panelists, Dr. Tato and Ongama Mpinga, I'm sorry, and to listeners. Indeed, this is a season for the ANC to reflect on the leadership in that will be elected in December. This is part of the internal democracy, which is so important for any institution in our democracy, in our constitutional democracy, to also practice internal democracy. We are reflecting on the progress we've made, how we have been able to work with society to deal with difficulties like COVID-19 epidemic and so forth and so forth. And also looking at what are the needs of society at this point in time, and how can we also look at what is coming from our policy conference to make a proposal to South Africans on, you know, what needs to be done, indeed, to achieve that non-racial, non-sexist, democratic and prosperous society that the ANC was formed to work with society to achieve. A lot of progress made since 1994, but a lot more still to be done, with new challenges emerging. But as a society, we need to certainly pull our heads together and forge on and look at innovating new solutions.
Dr. Ramokopa, there have been some amendments made to how this process plays itself out. Are you satisfied with how the nomination process is unfolding? I know that I think last week you're training branch secretaries on the new method and the rules as set out by the Electoral Commission. Are you satisfied, or has it not gotten underway yet, so you can't say where your thoughts are about how your branches are performing?
Currently, the special NEC last week or so approved the credentials, the basis of which was the closing date, the deadline for the membership cutoff was the 3rd of September. So we gave it a bit of time. For those that renewed their membership on the 3rd itself, it took about 3 days or so. So after that was dealt with administratively, then provinces and regions and branches are now ready to begin their pre-BGM. The new system, membership system, that we have developed since the 54th conference, ensures that there is openness, there's transparency, and there is collegiality, and the focus is on the core business and not on processes. So most of the processes have been streamlined and modernized to ensure that branches discuss that. For instance, my branch met today. we had the convener of NEC in Gauteng, giving us more information and enlightenment around the type of leadership that we need, the type of challenges that our country, Africa and the world is facing. And that's what we discussed as part of a pre-BGM of elections. We're not just talking about names, we're first also defining we diagnose the current situation, looking at material conditions that are facing us, and also the type of leadership that can help our country at this point in time.
Khotata, I want to bring.
There are changes, yes, indeed. There's acknowledgement also of the challenges that we have faced. We are now in load shedding stage 6. It's in all our faces. We're all frustrated. We all want answers. We all are calling for accountability. And we're actually glad that the leadership in government is responding. We need to pull together as South Africans, even at this point in time, to build on the achievements we've made and also to ensure that we deal with new and even chronic challenges. Thank you.
I want to come back to that issue about the leadership that's responding to Eskom, but I want to bring Kotato in very quickly. Kotato, she speaks about collegiality. She speaks about all the issues that the ANC is aware of, that the country is dealing with. Do you get the same sense, as a journalist who's covering this conference as it's unfolding, do you get the sense that leaders in the ANC are also as preoccupied with what's stressing the country out as the rest of us? When we cry about Eskom, she speaks about Eskom. Do you think they get it? What is your sense of what's playing itself out during this period in the governing party?
Evening, Sidi, and evening to our other panelists, Mel Gwen and Ongama. Look, Sidi, one thing about the ANC and its leaders, that they're very good at analyzing and, you know, identifying problems. They're very good at that. That issue has so far been, you know, dealing with whatever issue they have identified. And yes, they'll say they identify load shedding is a crisis, it's crippling the economy, but you never get a sense that, you know, they are preoccupied with dealing with that crisis. You understand? In this period, there's a huge sense of, you know, names being discussed. You have names towards the conference being discussed. You have leaders from KZN, for instance, going to meet with leaders from Gauteng. You have leaders from Mpumalanga going to meet with leaders from Limpopo. And the sense that you're getting there is that, yes, they may be discussing other issues, but the preoccupation there is the name that, you know, will be put forward, the discussion about the name that will be put forward for the conference. So I'm not convinced that they are, especially in this period, that the ANC leadership is really, you know, focusing on, you know, the issues that the country is facing. I mean, unemployment is through the roof right now.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? When last did we see the Minister of Labour? The last time we spoke, he was speaking about, you know, finding companies that are hiring more
non-South Africans. Yes, I remember. To respond to it.
Exactly. What is it that they're doing on the ground that shows that they are preoccupied and that this conference that the ANC is going to in December will deal with those issues? Right now, it's all about leadership. That's the sense I'm getting, that the preoccupation is with the leadership, who gets to lead. It's not even about whether, those people can deal with those issues. It's most professional to say, if we appoint this one, if we let this one, our programs will be run, we'll defeat these ones. That's the sense I'm getting right now, my dear.
All right, it's very difficult to disagree with Kotato, because Kotato, like me, is a journalist that's closely observing these people. Ongama, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Do you agree with Kotato's general observations about what's at play? That it's not even about what are these leaders capable of. In fact, I had a conversation with somebody who said to me today, I'm not even calling Paul the sharpest crayon in the box, but that's our guy, that's our deputy president. What does that say when it's not about the person who's able to meet the needs, the challenges that are facing South Africans? Do you see it in the same light, Ongama?
Good evening to you and your listeners, as well as your guest, Dr. Makhoba, as well as Mr. Madisa there. I think that the processes of the ANC towards internal democratic processes of choosing leaders are elite driven and ambition focused, with a facade of mass participation. For the longest time, power broking by the elites within the party has determined outcomes of leadership contestations rather than the will of the rank and file. And in fact, what happens is that the structure of the process is top-down, even though it's got a facade of mass participation. So what would happen is that the regional, provincial, and national leaders get to be in cahoots with each other and then try and fashion outcomes of what Dr. Ramakgopa was explaining earlier to be in the image of what they want, what outcome they want, rather than what's bottom up. And so the reason why there isn't much focus on personal attributes and leadership qualities, but more on ideas of whose turn it is to lead at a given conference that we see, rather than focus on personal attributes. Obviously, the extent to which one thing and not the other is at play is debatable. But this is my biggest issue, that there isn't a discussion about where the party is and what kind of leadership is best for the party. And in fact, that will be done in the discussions about organizational renewal. But it's quite interesting that it always happens post-facto, where in the resolutions, if it's, for example, Mangaung, there's a cadership of a special type that's, is the ideal. But that has no bearing at all to the process of electing leaders. However, I must say that the new rules that have been passed are quite encouraging in terms of the ANC's attempts with, a change in processes so that they get closer to the ideals in terms of what caliber of leadership is required. However, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The extent to which those rules are going to help eliminate people who are undesirable to ascend to power is going to be a function of the political posture of those that are in the electoral committee, among other structures of the party.
All right. Philip and Sifudi, I see you, but before I bring you in, Ongama, from what you're saying, would it be fair to actually say that saying Amanda Asemasebeni, that power in the ANC lies in the branches, is a fallacy? That ultimately the branches will do what they're told? You speak about the elitism of this entire process. So from what you're saying, I can actually just write off ANC branches and their role and its significance in this conference.
Yeah, to be fair, Sidi, I think that the degree of the extent to which that's a facade or a make-believe process has changed. If you remember, one of the areas in which this manipulation of lower structures happened was through the membership system that was, appalling, to say the least. And so it allowed people to manipulate it. It's been automated to some degree, but it appears, based on what one hears on the ground, that the power of regional power brokers to manipulate the system hasn't completely been dealt with.
No, it hasn't.
But the things are different than what they were in Polokwane and Mangaung, for example, or even Nazareth. And then also the introduction of this process where the rank and file membership participates, but it's that the nominations are not final until screened. And then the last one for me, which was, I think, quite encouraging, the sanctions introduced for for exclusive access to certain members. So the idea now that there can't be, any influencing of delegate behavior, voter behavior, through either treating delegates unequally in terms of, you know, accommodation and travel, or in fact this idea that delegates must be kept, people that are vying for office must be precluded from addressing certain delegates. I haven't seen it happen yet, but I think the ANC, the quicker the ANC opens processes to open campaigning, the better. The idea President Mbeki is coming with, that's just an exile underground organization issue. That false humility of saying, no, I don't want to lead as long as the, I'll go where
it's outdated.
Takes me. While behind the scenes, intimidating people in order to actually be the one who wants to be chosen. So the concept of Undiketin is archaic, the way President Mbeki put it. It's not a democratic organizational culture. You need actually people who say, this is why I want to be the leader. That thing of exile and underground culture, it just has no place in a democratic organization, which has got to have free and fair processes of choosing leaders.
Transparent processes that Meg Wen spoke about earlier. Part and parcel of transparency is to be able to stand up and say, I want it, and this is why I want it, and this is why I'm suitable, and I speak to the issues of the day. Meg Wen, just before I take callers, I want to come back to you very quickly. You spoke about Eskom and about leadership, but Khotato, who I agree with, is the general sense we get as journalists is that actually you're not as open and alive to what South Africans are facing as you say you are. We cover NEC meetings. These are now closed meetings of the ANC's National Executive Committee. It's the highest decision-making body in between conferences. We have a lot of insights. We have a lot of sources as journalists who sit in those meetings. The last one, you were literally on the literally about to thrust the country into load shedding, but the fights were about whether or not Paul Mashatile belonged in the Secretary General's office. At any given moment, it seems, when you are given an opportunity to deal with a crisis, until you are knee-deep in the crisis, you cannot help yourselves but deal with internal issues and be narrow-minded in your thinking. You now speak about the leadership coming back. I have to ask you, to what end? I don't think as a South African we should praise the president, an ANC deployee specifically, for coming back in the middle of a crisis. Why did the ANC not stick with it? I know that there was once a special NEC where people were angry about the state of Eskom, and then you kind of forgot that Eskom is in a dire state, that we are in a crisis. We are now back to load shedding, and then again there's the ANC trying to catch a quick, fast wake up to deal with an issue. But when it was literally in the horizon, that wasn't a priority. That wasn't a priority, Dr. Gwen.
Yeah, I that is really what our members also sometimes, you know, push, especially the national leadership around. And we appreciate the frustration, which is a shared frustration, to me, I can assure you. I can assure you that since we went into this load shedding, which has escalated until this proportion, we have been in discussions and asking for answers with, from our own Economic Transformation Committee itself, the convener, the ministers involved, and and we have also asked that ministers are not operational, and that to the board. If you look at good governance, and we practice and implement good governance measures, the board must also be held accountable. And if indeed there are pressures from whatever angles that the board has, we want evidence that they had their eyes on the ball. They saw it coming, especially even the executive. There is effective oversight. I think that's one thing that we need to strengthen, the issues of those that are in job tasks of responsibilities, positions of responsibility, to be supported if there are objective problems beyond their control. But they also need to be held accountable. They must be seen to be take accountability. So it is not just a facade that the president is coming back, and it's also because we also have demanded answers, and we've been engaging with ministers. Ministers have been engaging with ESCOM in the background. And yes, there are explanations that are there, but we are saying, we need to go beyond the usual explanations. And very interestingly, I had an engagement with members of society in one township also today, in addition to with the leadership issues. And people are also raising issues of all of us looking at working together. First, this is summer. The use of electricity is not that excessive. There has to be an explanation as to why now. But secondly, that we also need to appreciate that there has been a lot of pressure and very fast on the electricity grid, including the massive housing projects, the developments that are there, including access of electricity to informal settlements, and so forth and so forth and so forth. So we're saying, yes, there must be accountability, but we must also put our finger on it. What is the diagnosis? And we need competent people to turn around the situation. So yes, the CD is not a facade. We feel the pressure every time because the ANC, as we say, is a revolutionary movement, meaning that the revolution is the people themselves. And we do have also branches in every ward, and they put the leadership under accountability as well. So
yet when you gather, as leaders, you worry about yourselves and positions, and not what the country is facing.
The first thing I had to do, even before I had breakfast, was to deal with the stage 6 load shedding. And I can assure you, throughout the day, among others, even in my pre-BGM meeting, we were seized with other issues, including the level of crime in our community. You talked just before we got into this platform, the news announced violence at universities, residences, and so forth and so forth. We are concerned about GBVF, the gender-based violence. We're concerned about jobs and youth as well. But we are also calling on South Africans that let us look at what we have achieved as we deal with the very, very, very pertinent and crisis areas that we are facing today. We should, hold one another accountable, demand answers, but let us also innovation. I think there's an issue of competency, getting competent people. If people don't perform, and there are no major curveballs like COVID, then they must be held accountable. There are measures of performance management, and I've used also performance management systems, whether in the Department of Health or in the municipalities. They work like magic. People see, it's a mirror. They see themselves, but they are not competent. And then you escalate. You get into a situation of either training and or disciplining for incompetency and or even dismissing people and getting people who would indeed help society to deal with their concerns. So okay. That's what we must demand. That is a bottom line that citizens need. And indeed, we should work around it. But I can assure you that the ANC is seized with this issue regularly. You've seen also with the issues of Zamazama, sometimes...
illegal mining.
It's even accused of marching against its own government. Yes, we have to. If necessary, we have to be seen to be with the people, because that's what the ANC was founded for, to be with the people and to be responsive to ordinary people's needs.
Okay, Philip, do you agree with that? She says that they also suffer with load shedding with the rest of us. Philip, you're calling in from Highlands North. Hi.
Hi. I don't know how the doctor can all honestly say that the NEC, the ministers, the leaders of the ANC have any concept about how people are suffering from the load shedding when we, the taxpayers, have paid for all of their houses to have generators. So how can she possibly, in all honesty, say that they really care about the people?
All right, Philip, thank you so much. I'm going to give her a chance to answer all your questions a little bit later on. Sifudi, welcome to the show.
Sifudi and your guest. And I think Sifudi is insulting our intelligence. Whatever pain we're feeling in this country, whatever failures we're experiencing, power cut, this has been a long time coming, 2008, people crime, people committing crime with impunity. You know, with gay abandonment, and Ramukhopa comes and tells us this. It's certain that they admit cities, that they have failed, and they must admit, humble themselves in front of South Africans. We cannot give them a mandate to go and govern and join us in the march. It's an insult of our intelligence, and then she must go and tell whatever she's saying to the gays. Good evening to you.
Thank you so much. That's Sifudi out in Randfontein. I'm going to give them a chance, I guess, a chance to respond to some of those. But first, I want to take a quick ad break. We'll bring in your voice notes, and then we'll give our experts a chance to respond.
Make sense of the week that was. Prepare for the week to come.
Inside EWN on 702.
You are still listening to Inside EWN with myself, TD Madia. We're having a conversation about the ANC's nomination season. I'm joined by three experts, NEC member and coordinator at the Secretary General's office in the ANC, Dr. Gwen Ramukhopa. I've got Ongama Mtimka, a political analyst from the Nelson Mandela Metro University. Also, Khutatso Madisha, who's a political journalist at the Sunday Times. We are speaking about the ANC and where it's going. A lot of people really unhappy about what the ANC is presenting, the fact that it's inward looking, discussing leadership when there are greater problems that are unfolding in the country. You heard that voice. There are voice notes, rather, I want to play for you. Just take a quick listen.
Good evening, Siti. You know, the ANC is always self-reflective, self-correcting, and they are always taking full responsibility, and they are always consulting. But when you dissect, when you go inside to ask them exactly what does it mean for you to be taking full responsibility, it's always there. It's always out there. But the wording is self-introspection. It's third forces. It's other parties. It's apartheid. You know, criminal elements who are out there, but they are self-introspecting. Why is that?
That's a very interesting WhatsApp. Thank you for that, where the governing party says it's self-introspecting. Does a lot of diagnosis along with us, but never takes responsibility for where it fails. Dr. Gwen, I think a lot of things were posed to you. I'll give you all a chance to respond, but I want to move on to the issue of gender. Khutatso, were you surprised that out of all the provinces that have pronounced, so we've had Limpopo, Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape. We've had expressions from, I'm not sure what I'm leaving out at the moment, but of the provinces on Mpumalanga, of the provinces that have pronounced, only one woman's name has come up, and that's from Gauteng, and it's also for a deputy position. Are you surprised that this is how ANC provincial executive committees are thinking? These are leaders of provinces who understand the zebra rule that's meant to help them achieve gender parity, yet of the nominations that they want to propose to their branches, only one province with one woman in a deputy position.
Not at all, Judy, because, I mean, for instance, the funniest thing happened with the pronouncement by the Northern Cape PEC. Instead of picking one out of all the deputy president candidates, they actually endorsed all six. That goes to show you that instead of even opting for a woman, they'd rather say they're basically saying we're not entering the space, instead of, you know, I mean, there's Mamoloko Kubai there, for instance, who has not been pronounced by anyone. for there is the doctor, Dr. Gwen Ramukopa herself, so far not been.
She must tell us if she's available. We have her here. She must actually tell us if she's running, not even save the branches. They must divorce the culture.
She must tell us. So I'm really not surprised. And those rules, or the guidelines by that team, by the former president, Kgalema Motlanthe, tried to deal with this question of gender parity and women representation. In the NEC, it's there. We will have, or the ANC will have, over 50% women. However, the rule tried to also make it a point that in the top six itself, there's 50% representation of women, but it's not coming up. And if the PEC, which leads all the provinces, I mean, all the branches in all these provinces, are pronouncing, but they're not pronouncing women, how do we expect that the branch members who are being led by these same people will do anything different? They keep saying, well, you see, the branches will make their own determination. We are just saying this is the leadership we prefer. But the branches are the ones who elected these provincial leaders with the hope or belief that they'll be able to lead this. So why would they have a different view to that of the leaders they have elected? So chances are we won't see anything different with what is being pronounced, especially on the question of women, what is being pronounced by the provincial executive at all. The ANC is faced with the question of having men, you know, needing or wanting to grab all these opportunities, leadership opportunities, you know, at the peril of the said women. But it also raises a question to say, is it a question of whether the women in the ANC can lead? Are these PECs asking themselves that question, or is it merely just a patriarchal issue? We also have to ask that question to say, perhaps it's not even a patriarchal issue, perhaps they don't have confidence in the women that they have in the NEC. I know it's controversial, but I'm playing a devil's advocate.
It makes me uncomfortable, but I also have thought about that too, I'll be honest.
Yes, we have to ask that question. Why are women not being, you know, put up and endorsed in front of our faces, as opposed to the men, that some of them are so old, but they keep wanting to come back and back and back and back and back.
Just name her, Kutazo. Just name her. Just name her. Just say you're now picking at the fact that you're hearing Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma is also campaigning. Dr. Ramukopa, I want to bring you into that conversation, you know. First, are you going? Are you available? Are you running for the position of Secretary General in the ANC? But most importantly, though, what does it communicate about women in the party? I want you to maybe help us understand, as a woman in the ANC, where the idea of 50% in the top officials didn't carry, where as we are saying, even as people who observe the ANC, we don't seem to have faith in the capabilities of the women in the governing party. When you sit there and you look at this and you look at what your provincial executives are doing, what goes through your mind as somebody who might or might not rise to the SGO?
Thank you very much, Tidi. And the one thing is that the ANC is a microcosm of the society. We come from the society that has birthed us. And the issues of patriarchy are deep-seated. It is not in political organizations only where patriarchy from time to time raises its ugly head. And that is why the ANC had to ensure that it is a constitutional mandate to have the representativity to mitigate against this ill of patriarchy. So yes, it will not be shut off overnight, but. As a policy, and this matter also came up at the policy conference a few months ago, that there has to be more effort on gender representativity, on youth representativity, if we are to be futuristic and also be responsive to the needs of the young people. And we also have to reflect the society including the national question, so that the ANC represents to closest the desires of our society in composition, especially of leaders. So I must say that I'm a bit surprised that provinces are not coming out to reflect, especially the leader, to reflect objectively on this question that arose. Where they haven't reflected, we hope that they have considered women, even if it is not myself in particular, but all of us have a responsibility to ensure that there is gender parity. The burden of poverty on women, exclusion from economic opportunities, unequal pay for the same job, gender-based violence, there's just too much and men alone cannot carry the burden of society, as we have also learned from our forebears, who also helped mobilize men who was the formation of the ANC itself, even when women were not allowed to be members. And in addition, then women also established a women's forum because, not to compete with men, but because the burden of society cannot only be carried alone by men. And the aspirations of women, half of society, have to also be carried through and articulated in a number of these decision-making platforms. As well. So that is non-negotiable, and we internally, both men and women, there are men who also believe that we have to do much more than we've done. We have also been led by our president, Owar Tambo, on the necessity for women and men to work side by side in achieving the aspirations of society. So it is something that we must continuously work on so that we can give hope for society that it is possible to achieve a non-sexist society.
I'm getting a WhatsApp from a political journalist, Muluka Muloto, saying the ANC is patriarchal. Let's not turn a blind eye. Let's not be blind about this. I mean, it had a policy that said women can't be party members. Instead, they had to be supporters of members. And this policy was only done away in the 1940s. And I think you touched a little bit on that. A WhatsApp note coming into the studio line saying, why are people surprised that the ANC doesn't have women in high positions? They've always been like that. It was worse before they were unbanned. Dr. Ramakgopa, as somebody who has been a leader in Gauteng, you've been a mayor, you've been an MEC, are you not embarrassed that what they could only put up really is a woman as a DSG on a personal level, as a woman who's led in this province?
I'm a little bit fortunate because in my upbringing, in our family, we were taught that we are equal, both girls and boys. We had equal opportunities, and we shared the chores at home. My mom and dad also shared that. And but when you get into society, into the rest of society, it is a norm. It's a norm that there are roles for women or for girls, and there are roles for boys. So it takes time to undo and unlearn. And therefore, we need to ensure that we regulate. And that's why our constitution is very clear that women's rights are human rights. That didn't have to be expressed in a constitution and in a number of laws if it was not a problem of society. So, and as I've said, the ANC is a microcosm of society. And it is also a platform to ensure gender equality and advance all that. Yes, it is unbelievable, but it is a reality that we must accept and confront. And as I indicated, there are many men who are alongside, but we need to raise the consciousness. Even women sometimes you know, we need to raise the consciousness, even amongst women, amongst girls, that they can be the best they can be, and we need to share the roles and the responsibilities if we have to have this country going into the next level.
All right, thank you so much. Even women is quite accurate. I often feel ANC women lend their personal politics to helping the men get along. Ongama, the other issue, and I think you and I were part of a space, not I think, I know, you and I were part of a space where the youth in the ANC, younger people in the ANC were brought into the conversation where many felt they're not speaking to one another. In fact, an ANC member today called me and said, we have an opportunity to take the reins, to take our party. We must determine the future because we are serving a younger and younger generation. And part of that argument that he made is also we're approaching elections where coalitions might be part of the conversation. And if we leave it to our elders, they'll handle coalitions the way that they did in 2016 and 2021 specifically, where ideas about debating with particular, negotiating with particular parties were abandoned when younger people are willing and able to go and have conversations with particular parties because they may be served with them during the Youth Leaguers era. The youth of the ANC, your sense of younger members, let me not say youth, younger members in the ANC, because you have older generations that are younger in the eyes of the party or politics who feel that it's their turn, but as somebody pointed out, I think it was Sam Kele, they're not talking to one another about working together towards a collective goal.
Yeah, so the key constituencies within the ANC don't have a strategy other than falling prey to the gambits of the men who are power brokers. So that's why you see women being, you know, the best only for deputy secretary positions, as I've seen throughout the slates. And then young people also, and the last group in my view to have a program was the Julius Malema group, in terms of which they sought a particular political program, whether or not there was disagreement about it. You know, it's something else. And also, you know, they could push for a political figure that they thought could best carry that. After that, there isn't any program that the ANC or the youth or relatively younger people in the ANC have pushed for that's meaningful. You know, people mistake these agitations, which I am among the people who make, for younger leaders, as though it's an ageist position. My view is that the problems that are there in the ANC were created mainly by a generation whose values and culture is no longer suitable to save the ANC where it is and actually help the country to move forward. Why? Because when they discuss leadership among themselves, issues of seniority as to when one joined the struggle and the arrogant references to were you an exile or were you in exile have tended, in my view, to make the party, you know, go around in the same place and not move forward at all. And these notions of seniority, you see them, you know, when discussions are being made about who best to lead. And this silly notion that somebody knows the ANC as if it's some static organization stuck somewhere in the 70s or 60s even. So all of that are the kinds of values that are no longer relevant to determine who's best to lead the party currently. As such, but also it's been taken in bad faith, Sidi, because if you look at municipalities, in fact, there's been a generational shift there.
Absolutely. Regions, yeah.
Yeah, it's taken in bad faith because novices come with our turn to eat, you know, rhetoric with no qualification or experience to justify why they should be leading. And I think the point that you asked Dr. Ramakgopa earlier on, the issue with the ANC is that there's no accountability for failures of leadership. So while they keep diagnosing problems and pledging their commitment to resolve the problems, the basic ideas for determining whether or not a person kiyabuya or not are just devoid of performance. I mean, they've been having friendships with the Communist Party of China for the long time. The one thing they cannot learn from the Communist Party of China is to bring in merit as part of the processes of determining who should lead. People who haven't led either at a local government level or at a municipal level, or in fact have led there but have not been successful, want to graduate to the provincial and national levels, devoid of whether or not they've had the competences and they've displayed the competence.
Okay, all right.
As a result of that, we seem to have intractable problems.
All right. We are fast running out of time. Khutato, as I come to you now, I want you to wrap your thoughts, but to also speak to me about the fact that the presidential candidate who's getting pronounced is Cyril Ramaphosa, and he's doing so with a Palapala scandal hovering over his head, where, again, I keep saying, but this undermines the citizens, this undermines the state and the rule of law. You have a minute, really, Khutato, to be really concise. I want to try to give our other guest a last word, but just very quickly.
It's very concerning that, the six or so provinces have already pronounced the president, but, those pronouncements are not coming with a disclaimer to say pending the outcomes of, the investigation in Palapala or anything like that. So it's a bit concerning, but, I mean, it's the ANC after all.
okay. I'm going to leave you right there. It's concerning, but it's the ANC. Sorry.
Yeah, it's the ANC, and we shouldn't expect anything less.
Okay.
The hope is that, nothing happened.
Thank you, Khutato. I'm going to cut you right there. I'm absolutely running out of time, but I want to give the last word to Dr. Gwen Ramakgopa. Dr. Gwen, you didn't tell us whether you're running for Secretary General or not. In 5 seconds, please just give us your parting shot. And again, are you available to run?
First and foremost, maybe I must say, yes, I'm available to run if so nominated.
Let that culture go. Say you want it or not.
To help with the renewal agenda that has started and it is consolidating. I've also noted that our panelists are acknowledging that there is some movement in the right direction, and we are committed as a collective to ensure that it is for real. And we're calling on South Africans, not only political parties, to really focus on taking our country to the next level.
All right, thank you so much. She tried to be nice and tight there. She says taking the country to the next level, but most importantly, that she is available to run for Secretary General come December. Thank you so much to all our experts. We had Khutato Madisha from the Sunday Times, political journalist, political analyst from Nelson Mandela Metro University, Ongama Mtimka, and ANC NEC member and coordinator in the Secretary General's office, Dr. Gwen Ramakgopa. That's it from me.